Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Bears fans, and welcome to this Friday edition of the CHGO Bears Podcast, presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano, and I'm joined by my good friend Mason West on this first day of July. Mason, what's going on, my man? How have you been?
Not too bad. Busy as always. You know, physical therapy never stops. It's one of those things just keeps going and going. So, you know, it's been good though. You know, it's weird when you become a real adult and summer doesn't matter anymore. So, cause it's just the same thing over and over again, doesn't matter December versus August. So that's kind of the grind I'm in right now, but you know, and we're in the dead period, right? Not a lot of news going on. And if you're the Chicago Bulls, even less news, which is weird considering free agency open, but you know, it's fine. Everything's fine.
You got Andre Drummond though. They got Andre Drummond.
Hey, woo.
And on. Yes, I know what you're about Zach to say, Lawrence. They got Zach back. Yep.
Right.
On his five-year deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Gallinari thing that he went to the Celtics, fine. Who the hell wants Gallinari anyways? No one wanted him. But I'm very anti-Drummond. That's a whole other podcast. Now, Mason, I have a quick question for you. Have you seen this mustache yet? Is this your first time seeing it?
This is my first time seeing it in this kind of full glory. It's been a couple screenshots and stuff.
Like this one? Have you seen this one?
Yeah, that one I did see. Is it hard to eat stuff? Like if you have like a bagel with cream cheese, are you just like constantly wiping now?
You know what? It's been relatively clean so far. I guess I'll see this weekend because I am planning on keeping this for the 4th of July. And I guess we'll see there.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. I see that being an issue, but so far, so good. It's been good.
All right.
Well, hey, before you guys get into it, I just want to send a nice shout out to the chat. We know what day it is today. It's Detroit Lions preview day. So we know there's going to be someone in this chat, probably, likely, that will be rooting on those Lions and maybe perhaps, you know, picking fights a little bit. Let's be nice. Okay. Don Burr, we love you. Okay, just let's all just kind of, it's a nice holiday weekend. Let's have fun, okay?
Let's have fun. That's what it is. That's what it's about on these Friday shows, having fun. Mason, I was thinking about you before I reached out for this podcast because, man, I did something to my right ankle where I can barely, like, I can flex it forward and back. That's fine. But if I'm, like, trying to cut or even turn slightly, I'm like, damn, this is not good. I have the Big Ten 10K on July 10th. Need to be able to, you know, just have full functioning right ankle. I'm like, ooh, I might have to, you know, take a visit to go see my good friend Mason West and see what's going on here. Today it feels a little bit better, but I don't know.
Door is always open. You know, obviously I would have to take a look to give you a full idea of what you're looking at. But I mean, something like with having that 10K coming up, I mean, you got to get that right.
Yeah, I got to get that right. And like, I still have this like stupid cough that's like been messing with me and my running, but we'll get it right before July 10th. And if, you know, it's getting closer to that day, I definitely might have to like hit you up and see what's going on there. But yeah, definitely. I was thinking about you. I'm like, damn, the hell's going on with this ankle here? I know a guy.
Hey, all right. I got to jump in one more time. What are our thoughts on the USC and UCLA jumping to the Big Ten?
Look, I think man, some of those times are going to be awful. I mean, think about how bad it is already to like do some of those weird like 11 a.m. kickoffs for some of those Big Ten games. Like, man, that's going to be rough.
I just want to know, Nick, if you saw this tweet.
Iowa run three tight ends on the field. That's so true. Hey, the last time Iowa played USC in the bowl game, they whooped that ass. Iowa really gave it to USC, so ring it. Let's go. They're just so different in
it's so weird
how they play football. The Big Ten versus obviously USC and UCLA.
Can you imagine Lincoln Riley trying to run his offense in East Lansing in late November? What the hell is he gonna do?
So weird. So weird. How is that gonna work for everything other than football? Obviously it's once a week.
Just think of the travel for these kids. I mean, this is a nightmare.
It's nuts.
We've entered into a day and age where recovery is such a big thing now. And I mean, being able to having a jump like that into different time zones is going to mess with your circadian rhythm. And all of a sudden now you're not going to recover as well. So you're going to have these muscles. You're going to have likely more injuries, honestly. I don't love it. It's a money move and not a health move.
Yeah.
I didn't really think of that part of it either.
Especially for the non-football and basketball athletes, the travel is going to be rough and that sucks.
Yeah, and 2024, right? That's when it's supposed to all take place. And
obviously,
I guess we got
some of those are still going to be falling. I'm guessing.
Yeah,
Oregon, who are like, what's happening here?
Oh, that'd be another interesting wrinkle to bring into the Big Ten. But yeah, 2024 is when that's all supposed to happen, and see how all that goes. But we do have Bears football to talk about, and Lawrence was talking, previewing, mentioning, hey, we got the Detroit Lions on the docket for Week 10. In this, season-long preview of the opponents we're looking at. And, Lawrence, let's just bring up that graphic. Let's look up some of these key additions, these key losses of what the Detroit Lions are all about. And you see that record there. You see the 3-13-1 last place in the NFC North. But it's always weird to see a tie in anybody's record. But if any team's going to have it, it's the Detroit Lions. For people who are just listening to this podcast or who will listen, some of the key additions the Lions made this offseason, wide receiver DJ Chark, who is a guy that I'm sure, like you, Mason, I liked. If the Bears were to go look into him, that's a guy that the Lions took to their roster. They also added safety Deshaun Elliott, linebacker Jerod Davis. But they also lost some guys on that defense, especially Trey Flowers being one of them, linebacker Jalen Revis-Maben, who was their leading tackler among the linebackers. Also lost a wide receiver, Cardarrelle Hodge. And, man, when it comes to rookies, though, the Lions did add some playmakers on both sides of the ball. You look at Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, wide receiver Jameson Williams. I really like Kirby Joseph. I was like, when you made all these up put in the docket here at Mason, I'm like, oh, yeah, Kirby Joseph. I really like Kirby Joseph. I forgot he was on the Lions. So they added some key additions, but – Mason, when you think about the Detroit Lions, what kind of comes to mind? Even with the additions, the losses, the rookies, what comes to mind from the 3-13-1 Lions?
I said this a lot when we were doing the Chicago Audible. Pretty much every time we talked about the Lions, the Lions need to prove to me that they're not the Lions until I'm going to say anything different. While, yes, they had a good offseason. I mean, it's also easy to have a pretty good offseason when you have high multiple picks, all those things. Mm-hmm. When you can swindle the Vikings in the trade that they did, that trade was nuts. And we can always dive into that later. But I don't know. I don't know that Dan Campbell's the guy. He's definitely the rebuild guy, but I don't know that he's the sustained success guy. We just haven't really seen someone like him as a head coach have a lot of success. So, I mean, think about how they lose, right? One of the ones that come to mind, right, of DeAndre Swift dropping the go-ahead touchdown in the end zone against the Bears. They just figure out ways to lose games. And while, yes, they did a good job this offseason, I can't emphasize that enough, you got to wait and see. If there was going to be a year that maybe they leapfrog the Bears going from fourth to third, this would probably be it, considering where the Bears are at and where what the Lions did. But again, I got to see it first.
Got to see it. And look, Mark has a really good comment here. I was rewatching that Thanksgiving game. I don't know if you remember this, Mason, but it was towards the end of the game where the Lions, I think they called consecutive timeouts, got penalized for it. There was just a bunch of Detroit-like mistakes, and it came from like the coaching and what the team was overall doing. Where Mark's comment is the Ford Field game last year, Dan Campbell making Matt Nagy look like Bill Belichick. Yeah, there was just so many boneheaded mistakes in that one. But I will give, look, I'll also say this with Detroit. They lost a lot of close games. Again, like the one against the Bears was one of those, and that was, again, on the Detroit Lions and their fault. But you look at their 19-17 loss to the Ravens. They also had a 19-17 loss to the Vikings at US Bank Stadium. They tied against Pittsburgh 16-16. I had a 13-10 loss to the Browns in Cleveland, the 16-14 loss to the Bears on Thanksgiving, and they lost 20-16 to the Falcons in Atlanta. So there were actually some games where the Lions were in it, and they should have won the game against the Ravens and lost on that 60-plus yard field goal. So they were in it despite having a bad roster. But I'm just going to jump on what you were saying, Mason. I need to see it from Detroit. I really do. And when you have the quarterback like Jared Goff, I think things are just, there's definitely a low ceiling to what that team can be. It, when you look at the opposite end with the Bears and Justin Fields, there's just so much potential. There's so much upside that you can, if things were to go the right way with the Bears, you know why. It's probably Justin Fields. If things are stagnant, never amount to anything, despite having like a Jameson Williams and an Amon St. Brown who had a good season for the Lions last year, it's probably Jared Goff, right? There's just he's just not that quarterback that takes you to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw that back when he was with the Rams, right? You saw very easily that it was McVay getting the most he could out of Goff, which just wasn't a lot. I mean, you go back to before McVay was there, we saw you always blame Jeff Fisher because Jeff Fisher's going to Jeff Fisher, you know, Mr. 8-8. I guess now 8-9 probably. That's yeah. The change in win loss, but he just is fine. That's what he is. He's fine. That's why I think they decided to ride with him. As we saw, pretty much everyone hated the quarterbacks in this draft, hence why so many of them went late. And you weren't going to use one of their top picks to get a quarterback. They were fine with Jared Goff just to hold court there. I think you're almost worried as a Lions fan. Like, let's say you do make a couple changes here and there, or like you actually get a couple more wins. Do you play yourself out of an opportunity to get a real quarterback? Because if they don't have a top 5 pick next year, let's say they're in the top 10 because they can snag, you know, 2-3 more wins this year because they did get better. I said that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Are you stuck in this weird have to overpay in free agency world or da 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 da? I think it's going to be interesting. The Lions are in a tough situation there because they still haven't figured out that quarterback. But at least they're doing, in theory, what a lot of Bears fans were wanted, right? They went inside DJ Chark. Not top or anything of a list for the wide receivers, but very serviceable on a pretty solid deal. Drafting Jameson Williams, yes, he's going to take some time to come back. Probably, I mean, if they're aggressive, maybe October, more likely November. But he's going to be on the field and he's the fastest and one of the most athletic receivers in that draft. Like I said, they absolutely stole him too. I mean,
yeah,
they basically the Lions gave up 435 points of value, but they gained 475 points of value if you go by some of those draft charts. So I don't know what the Vikings were doing, especially with an in-division trade. So, I mean, just adding those two guys to St. Brown, who, let's be real, is the better St. Brown brother between the two. You already have Hockenson there. And then DeAndre Swift is a pretty dynamic running back. Those are the kinds of weapons you wish that Justin Fields had. But if you have to choose between the quarterbacks, I would think it'd be obvious you're going to go with Justin Fields.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So you look at the weapons around Goff, and he does have some good weapons, have some guys that can, like Jameson Williams, who has a lot of upside. Just when is he going to actually play? And you have one of the best tight ends in the league in TJ Hockenson and what he's capable of doing. So they have that down. It's just, What are the Lions going to be able to get out of Jared Goff now in this year two with the team? And that's where I think the questions all lie. And looking at some of the defensive players that they have, they have what? Tracy Walker, their safety, who had the most tackles on the team last year. Like I said, they lost Jalen Reeve-Maven, their linebacker that had the most tackles out of that group. Charles Harris, like a Jeff Okuda, who was a number 3 overall pick.
Okuda's great.
And he's only played one game, and then he had the ACL. So you still need to see what is he going to be in the NFL, essentially. So there's a lot of questions, like the Bears, a lot of question marks with this Detroit Lions team. But like you, they did get better. Like, as you're looking at these two matchups, this is the Week 10 matchup in Soldier Field. I'm rocking with the Bears in this one. And maybe later in the year, maybe that changes if the Lions can get on a roll, and we'll see where both teams are at. But it's just, it gets limited by the quarterback, and that's where kind of the Detroit Lions are at. In the previous episodes, as we were kind of previewing each team, I was looking at ESPN and their roster rankings. Right now they have the Detroit Lions as the 25th, I guess, worst roster in the league. Now, the Bears are number 30, so if people are wondering, well, where the Bears Lions stack up, and again, they use PFF's database to kind of distinguish where these two teams are at. The Lions are 25th. They say the biggest strength, and I do agree with them here, is the Detroit offensive line. You have Taylor Decker, Penei Sewell, both being top 10 players at their respective positions they should be top 10 players in 2022. So they have that offensive line solidified. You also have Frank Ragnow as your center. So you have a good foundation for Jared Goff to work with. And like we just talked about the weapons, but again, the biggest weakness that they have in that article goes back to the guy that we've been talking about, Jared Goff. It says here, Jared Goff's passes have traveled fewer than 7 yards downfield on average, 6.8, and his 8.8 yards per attempt on throws 20 or more yards downfield is a bottom five mark among 31 quarterbacks with at least 50 such attempts. So you're not getting a lot of big plays, explosive plays downfield. Dink and dunk Jared Goff, is that going to really win you games? More times, it's not. You need those explosive plays to really help you out in any team. And they say the X factor is that guy, Jeff Okuda, if you could see him, if he can actually play a full season. So, again, I guess we're almost in the same place we always are when we talk about the Lions. Like, got to see it. They're the Detroit Lions, but they are getting better.
Well, and I want to highlight one guy in particular that I wish it wasn't a need for the Bears, but I wish somehow they could have figured out a way to get him, was Josh Pascal, who he's a bit of a Swiss Army knife, mainly will play interior, but he could do some edge. He could do some linebacker, but he is the Dan Campbelliest pick ever, right? Cause he overcame cancer. He had to learn how to walk again. But he went back to the Kentucky program and he finished the year with a 90.2 run defense grade. I mean, like if that's not a great story, I don't know what is. He had a pass rush win rate of 16.3% and a run stop rate of 12.4. His RAS, relative athletic score, was a 9.7 out of 10. So, I mean, like, jumping out in terms of that athleticism.
Yeah.
He's just such a down-to-earth guy, and then he has the play to back it up. When you have him, you know, Romeo, was that Cora, who's going to be coming off? He had an injury, so he wasn't able to play a ton. And then you had Aiden Hutchinson to that. The defense for the Lions going to be pretty solid, I think. And like I said, I wish it wasn't a need, but I wish there was a way that Bears could have gotten Pascal, because he's just the perfect combination of it as a human being, but then also a football player.
Yeah, athletic freak too, with that RAS score that you mentioned there, Mason. Lawrence, can we bring up the points bet numbers here? Perfect. As you can see, the points bet does not have the Lions in high regard to win the Super Bowl. 30th there with a plus 15,000. I'm not making that bet. That's just not with my track record, if you want to lose money, I guess you could do that one. They are plus 6,600 to win the NFC, tied for 14th. But look at this one, plus 900 to win the NFC North, putting them in third, which means I don't have the Bears number in front of me, but they are, PointsBet has them a little ahead of the Bears there.
Plus 1,100 for the Bears.
Ah, okay. So, I don't know. I mean, if it was me, Mason, what about, okay, and then one last thing, over under 6.5 wins. You have the over at minus 110, the under at minus 110. I don't know about that, the win the NFC North with the Lions being ranked ahead of the Bears there. And again, it goes back to quarterback play to me. Even though there's so much uncertainty with Justin Fields, he doesn't have a lot of talent that Jared Goff has. If I had to make that bet, I'm going with Justin Fields. I'm sorry. And I know someone mentioned, like, hey, Goff's been 2 Pro Bowl appearances. That was with Sean McVay, with the Rams. There are just limitations, and I just don't see the high upside and what Goff potentially can do with all those weapons that I do, even with Justin Fields, with going into year two, and we know the circumstances he's in, but I don't know. What do you feel about that? Or how do you feel about the I guess, points bet having the Lions ranked above the Bears there?
I can see why they did, just simply because they had more activity than the Bears did in some of the areas. That's true. You could say key areas, you know, in quotations there for those who aren't watching. But, you know, don't confuse movement for progress, right? Because you can run in plays. It doesn't mean you're going anywhere. And like you had mentioned earlier, how Jared Goff really struggles to attack downfield. Why, who cares if you have DJ Chark and if you have Jameson Williams, if he's not going to throw him the ball deep? I mean, that's going to have to ultimately matter, right? I mean, so it's great. Those are two solid additions, but are you going to use them appropriately? And at least for the beginning stages of, since Jameson Williams isn't available, all that jazz, I mean, you're still hoping Hockenson can do more. You're hoping DeAndre Swift can do more. I mean, as a Hockenson fantasy football owner for a couple different teams, very disappointing overall. Mm-hmm. Very disappointing because he has Jared Goff throwing him the ball. It's very annoying. So it makes sense why they would do that, because there was more activity on their side in some of those areas, and the Bears just simply didn't. You know, they didn't get the receiver that everyone was hoping for. They didn't get the right guard everyone was hoping for, all those things. So I see why they did that, but I would not confidently put them over. I mean, like, if I could do a bet to the four all in a row, it's going to be Packers, it's going to be Vikings, I'm going to put Bears, and I'm going to put Lions until I'm proven otherwise that Detroit can get out of their own way.
Perfectly well said, Mason. I don't think, you know, I can't summarize it better than you. And then we have our comment here from Sylvia. The Lions have won on paper and in the media conversation, but still have yet to win when it matters on the field. And that's where it ultimately comes down to. A lot of teams can win in the offseason, or, you know, quote unquote, win in the offseason. When it comes down to games, we'll see what kind of happens.
Remember the year when the Eagles had the super team? And oh, yeah. Everyone was like, oh, my, this is it. They won the offseason, Super Bowl, Super Eagles. But they didn't do anything. I mean, the games matter. You have to play the games. And at this point in time, nothing tells me they're going to play the games well.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot left to be seen from Detroit Lions. Same can be said about the Chicago Bears, but we'll have to wait until games are played to make a better distinction of what these two teams are. But before we answer some of the questions that you submitted on Twitter for Mason and I to go through, to tell you about PointsBet. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO Locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you out. PointsBet is your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. See an edge in the game you're watching? Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. Download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. I also have to tell you, and we actually had this partnership back in the Chicago Audible days, one of my personal favorites, OWN, which stands for Only What You Need. This brand is a 100% plant-based protein company that gives you high quality and carefully selected ingredients to keep you functioning throughout your entire workday, and especially after an intense workout. In these protein shakes, you get your vegan omega-3s, your green superfoods like broccoli, kale, and spinach. It's the only way I'll eat those vegetables right there, right in my own shakes. And all these amazing ingredients reinforce what OWN stands for, only what you need. I've been using OWN for the last 2 years. I even got my girlfriend hooked on it. And if you're looking for a recommendation, love the Pro Elite Chocolate Shake. Just a good flavor. You get 35 grams of protein. Can't go wrong there. And what's cool about OWN is that I first heard about them from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who does follow a plan. Did you just see that? Yeah, you saw that. So when I put that up there, you can't see it, but it's like a little, it was a Spider-Man figurine holding the bootlegged CHGO hat. And I'm like, man, that's going to fall off at some point. And boom. It felt like it's slow motion, too. Like, yeah. Oh, no.
During the Owen read, what are we doing?
Mm. Yeah, brings down bad fake products, I guess. But Owen's real. And Owen and CHGO have partnered up to give you an awesome offer. When you use the code CHGO20, you get 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com. Again, that is 20% off with the code CHGO20 at liveowen.com. So join us here at CHGO and Justin Fields and try Owen, only what you need. All right, I am your host, Nicholas Morreale, joined by Mason West. And now we're going to get into some mailbag questions that we got from Twitter. Got a wide, wide range, I would say, here, Mason, from football to non-football-ish. And if you have any questions in the comments here, feel free to drop them. Doesn't have to be, it can be football-related. Of course, we are a, you know, Bears football podcast show. But if you have any personal questions, just throw them in there. It's Friday. It's happy hour Friday, actually. I know you're at work, Mason. But I guess I'm at work, right? This is work.
That was your version of work.
Yeah. I'm cracking open because it's happy hour Fridays, and this is the only thing we had down there. It's like a truly strawberry hibiscus margarita, right?
This is more fun. I just have a Zoa.
Hey. Yes. There we go. I got the Zoa, too. Yeah, so Yep. Got the tropical punch. A margarita. That's what I got here. But yeah, let's answer some questions here that we got from our awesome followers and listeners. And like I said, if you have any questions, put them in the chat here. In the first one, we got Da Bears from at Da Bears. How many years till this team is truly relevant? How many till they can make a deep playoff run? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but your gut feeling. I don't have a crystal ball. And this is from Jonathan, our good friend, who we actually went to the game against the Kansas City Chiefs, but I do have the Magic 8-Ball. So, Mason, relevant. Let's start there because I like deep playoff run.
Relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Let's. What are you thinking? Like, what and relevant can in anybody's eyes can be different, but what are you thinking for the Bears in relevance?
I would say, like, for me, for a team to be relevant, you have to be in the playoff conversation, and not just in the playoff conversation, but you can make some noise in the playoffs. And that could be just as little as, you know, you win a game, you upset a team that you beat a team you shouldn't beat, something like that. So if you're, for example, the Bears that one year where they ended up playing the Saints and got destroyed on Nickelodeon, you're not relevant that you just tripped your way into that because they changed how many teams make the playoffs. So you need to be able to, like, legitimately that 2018 year, right? That's relevant. And unfortunately, you know, a little bit of a funky kick derailed that. However, I guess, so to answer that, I'm going to say at a minimum 3 years, if we're counting this year, it's going to be three. Cause this year you're going through the motions, right? You're seeing what Justin can do with a more competent offensive game plan around you and hoping that will elevate some of maybe the lack of talent you might have, for weapon wise and protection wise. Then the following year, when you have all that cap space, you make some bigger moves, you add some more stuff around. And then that third year is where maybe things have gelled, right? You have another set, you know, another couple sets of some rookies behind you. That's really, I think, where you could potentially be relevant.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to take this in a different way. Relevant for me and the Bears is week to week, the opposing team, you're looking like, okay, this is going to be a tough game. Like, they have some quality players, and this is going to, whether it's a home or away, like, the Bears, they can pose some problems. And if everything goes right, Mason, in what this year is supposed to be, then 2023 can be where the Bears can be, quote-unquote, relevant. And why I say that is because if Justin Fields shows what he can be, despite not having the best weapons around him, but shows progress in year two, we know he can make the jump in year three when the Bears have more draft capital and more money to spend. If the defense is creating turnovers this year, You get some more, again, add some rushers, add some pass rushers to this. Let's see Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker in year two. Then 2023 can be a little bit more interesting. Darnell Mooney, if he shows that he can be your number one receiver and you can add some weapons around him, then that makes that offense a little bit more dangerous in 2023. And if Luke Getsy, too, shows that he can work with the weapons that he has now, add some guys again. Again, there's a lot of ifs to this going into 2023, but I think then they could be relevant. I'm not saying deep playoff runs or, you know, they're still – maybe they can give the Packers actually a game. You know, like there's not – there hasn't been a lot of years now since 2010. I think that was, you know, the last time that was actually relevant. That's where maybe 2023 can be a year for the Bears. And again, I'm not saying deep playoff runs, but at least when you mention the Bears, it's not something like, oh, it's a W. They're what regarded right now. I think Adam was saying it on yesterday's podcast that the most bet that you can make is the under on the Bears right now. Or 6.5 wins. Like that's the perspective that the Bears have. Maybe in 2023, that narrative can change. And you also need to have some young guys, I have in my notes here, step up this season. Is that a Braxton Jones at left tackle? I don't know. It could be. And Tevin Jenkins potentially at right. And actually, Mason, this is going a little off track. What do you make of the whole Tevin Jenkins and second team and not, you know, all that jazz? And obviously, training camp will be here in a couple of weeks. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that real quickly before we go on to our next question.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I know initially when we first were kind of looking at it, my first thought was this isn't too much. It's just getting Braxton Jones some reps in a time period that doesn't matter that much, right? Pads aren't on, all those things. Then when it kept happening, you start to think, is this a bad sign? The fact that this wasn't like a one-day, two-day thing. What you just said, training camp's really where we're going to get to see like what the deal is here. At the end of the day, they're going to put the best five linemen out there, no matter who they are. If that proves to be the case, it's going to be Braxton Jones. But I also think Tevin Jenkins is a guy who he's going to look the best also with the pads on. I don't think he's necessarily going to be the guy who, you know, he's not super crazy fleet of foot. He was coming off the back injury. I mean, that takes a bit. It really does. Everyone wants it to be this quick fix. They're like, oh, he played last year. He didn't play like himself last year. I mean, compare his college tape to what he did in those last couple weeks he actually played. He didn't look like the same player. So even now, he's got to get some stuff under his feet. So I'm not freaking out about it. I'm not worried about it quite yet. But give me a week, give it 2 weeks of training camp. If he's still not starting at that point, it's over. He's the backup swing. He's the swing tackle.
Man, and that would be such a blow to Bears fans. Again, we'll see what happens in training camp, but definitely want to get your perspective on that before we move on to our next question. And actually, Don Burr has entered the chat. So, Don, appreciate you for checking in, especially because we previewed the Lions earlier. You have to go back and watch that part to see what we said about your Detroit Lions. But let's get on to our second question here. And we have it from Ghostface McCaskey. Okay. And he asked the question, have you noticed any improvement in Fields' cadence at practice? We've heard about his cadence in the huddle. His cadence was super mediocre last year, in my opinion. So I was hoping he put in some work on that this offseason. Maybe other things were a priority for him, though. To be completely honest, in terms of like actually hearing his cadence, I haven't noticed anything at the mini camps, the OTAs, or anything like that. We really don't have that close of a vantage point to really hear that. But you listen to what Cole Kmet is saying. You listen to just Darnell Mooney. Like when Justin is, he's not just rehashing what Luke Getsy is telling him. He's actually calling the play. He's telling everybody what to do and where to line up. So in terms of like how he's shown improvement, there's just a confidence that he has inside the huddle in terms of relaying that message, but also, hey, if someone's in the wrong spot, he'll tell you. There was a couple plays in practice where it was Velus Jones Jr. going in motion a little too early, and Justin kind of stopped and like, hey, like go back. Then they run the play, and then he runs his motion when he's supposed to. So That's just a quarterback who's now in year two, despite being in a new offense, knowing what when people are supposed to go in motion, what to do, and how to execute it. So, but it's hard to tell in practice if you can actually hear it, the inflection in his voice or whatever it may be. But Mason, he actually did a pretty decent job of it last season when, like, trying to draw defensive players offsides. Like, he did that a couple times last year, but I'm sure he'll continue to improve upon that as he continues to get reps in this new offense and will actually get meaningful reps against opposing teams there. But yeah, that's all I got on the cadence. We can actually move on to the next question.
I want to jump in real quick because someone kind of playing off of that cadence one. Al Alova says, has Justin Fields been working with someone on his sliding this offseason? Mm. He needs to work on that so he won't get hurt.
That I don't know if he's actually worked with a specific person, but I completely agree on that. There's some plays where it's like, hey, Justin, live to play another down instead of I think of the play against, what was it, Minka Fitzpatrick, where he's yeah. running along the sideline. Like that's a guy that you just don't want to go head up on, especially when you're that close to the sideline. But I just don't know if he's been working with anyone specifically.
I think the difference there is it's not a physical issue. Like, we've seen some quarterbacks who literally cannot slide. Like, they go to slide and they hurt their knee because, like, their foot gets caught in the turf weird. His is more – it's a mentality, right? I mean, he's always been the biggest, strongest, fastest, and he's going to try to get every yard he can out of something. And so it's not – it's a mentality thing. So I don't know – do you want to – how much do you want to take that out of him? Because that is something that has driven him as far as he has. That's something that has really helped him competitive-wise, keep his head on his shoulders, especially when, you know, crazy stuff was happening in the draft process, all these things, just believing he was the best one on the field no matter what, and he was going to do everything he could for his team no matter what. I mean, how often do we talk about – I mean, yeah, it sucks that he had it happen, but when he got hurt a couple times his last year, when he was at Ohio State – and we're talking about how tough he was and how he's able to stick it in there. And it didn't matter that his hip was hurt. And it's like, so are you going to really take that fully away from him? I mean, yes, you got to pick and choose your battles, but it's, you gotta take some of that along with just, that's just who he is. That's Justin.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Pick and choose the battles. Just pick and situationally. And kind of, again, when you're near the sideline, man, like that might be a good chance to just step out of there. But that's why Justin is who he is, Mason. Like you said it. He's a competitive SOB, and I think that's what makes him great. Let's go to the third question we have here. And this one's a very interesting question here from Billy Enforcey, maybe. Who would win a fight? Trenton Gill, the Bears' only punter on the roster, or my mustache? Look, I've always said that Trenton Gill, he's got some muscle definition, the triceps there. I'm like, all right, he's... You know, he's got some muscle there, but I don't know if Trenton Gill's seen the stash, though. So, yeah, exactly. If you're watching here, it's a close one. I mean, Trenton Gill, hope he does great as the, you know, rookie here, especially being the only punter. But I don't know. I don't know, Mason. You got any thoughts on Trenton Gill versus a mustache?
I don't even know. I appreciate the question. I do. But, you know, if we ultimately... take Nick, tie his arms behind his back, and have his mustache literally try to physically beat Trenton Gill, I think I'm going to have to put my money on the person that can act with arms versus just the, you know, non-living mustache. That's just me, though.
You know, that's really good logic, and actually, we're going to go with that because that makes the most sense there. All right, appreciate the question, though. Let's go to the third one, and this is a fascinating one, too. From Ross, he asked the question, Justin Fields aside, who would you say is the single most important player to the future of the franchise? Man, Mason, this got me thinking. Like, this really got me thinking. Because when you take Justin Fields out of the equation, I think there are a few guys that you can that you just kind of naturally go to. I'll take the first jab at this, though, and let me see if I'm off. I have Darnell Mooney as one of those guys as – someone being for the future of the franchise. And just because of whenever you talk to Darnell Mooney, like in the press conference, just obviously Justin Fields is always going to get brought up, but the chemistry, the continuity, everything that he's been building this offseason, man, it seems like those two guys at this point in time are clicking. And obviously having 1,000 yards last season, you want to see how he can build off of that year, especially now he is the guy. And if Justin Fields is going to have this year two jump, Darnell Mooney is going to be a huge part of that. And you want him to be, especially in Luke Getsy's offense, you want him to have somebody that he can feel comfortable going to. And Darnell Mooney seems like a guy that, if you're talking about outside of Justin Fields and you're looking at still on the offense, I'm going with number 11, Darnell Mooney, as being an important part for the future of this franchise. Who are you thinking about, Mason?
People are going to hate this answer. I'm going to preface that, and I'm going to put a little even asterisk on it. The way that I read it, who would you say is the single most important player to the future of this franchise? It's a player that's not on this roster yet. Because as of right now, I mean, I see a lot of Roquan Smiths in the chat. You know, Mooney is, I understand it. It's a solid answer. I'm not sure what we have yet. Obviously, in a Braxton Jones, there's big question marks in Tevin Jenkins, all those things. And I even have a hard time just selecting a defensive player for something like this when it's just such an offensive league. It's someone who's not here yet. It's the receiver that hasn't been traded for or signed yet or drafted. It's the left tackle who we know is going to be the stalwart left tackle for the next 5, 6, 7 plus years. So, like, for example, I know, again, they said Roquan Smith. Right now, money aside, Nick, would you trade Roquan Smith straight up for Davante Adams?
Oh, for Devontae, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Easy question. Would you trade him straight up for Trent Williams, left tackle?
I'm doing it.
Yeah. Those are the important pieces currently the way that the league is played today. And so for right now, it's someone that isn't here yet, or at least someone that hasn't been proven yet. I can't say again any of the tackles we currently have because we just don't know.
Yeah.
It's just that goes back to one of my other answers. 3 years down the road, hopefully maybe we have that player in the next 3 years.
That's a really good answer, Mason. I like that because I was also thinking of it in terms of, you know, when you're dishing out big contracts, what positions do they go to? They'll go to quarterbacks. They'll go to, like, edge rushers, your tackles. When and for Roquan Smith, who is on my list of guys, it's just how often do they go to those inside linebackers? Yes, it's great to have those guys. And Eberflus had Darius Leonard in Indianapolis. You see how vital he is to that defense. And I agree. Like, I think he qualifies for this answer. But, like, I couldn't pick a left tackle because I just don't know. Like you said. I had Kyler Gordon on here, but again, similarly, he does play corner. That's a premier position as well, but if there was a left tackle, if there was almost an edge rusher too, it's like those positions take precedent over some of the other ones. So, but I like how you approach that, and you know, or some of our commenters here also appreciate that. So that was a good one here. And actually, before we move on to the rest of these questions, just have to again tell you about PointsBet. If you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us to continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we'll help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Our next question in the mailbag we have from Antoner 0502.
Bro.
All right. He said
Antoine. Come on, man. It's Antoine.
Wait, it's got an R at the end, though.
No.
Yeah, well, and the at name. That's I was looking at the at name.
Yeah.
Oh my sorry. Okay. Antoner. I was looking at, well, in the at name, I guess it stands for Robinson, the R, the single R there. Yes. Following JF1 and T-Law, which is Trevor Lawrence, since high school, do you think the rivalry continues in the pros or just dies? I think internally for Justin Fields, there's always going to be a rivalry. Like, I don't think that just dies now that you're in the NFL, right? Like, this is the highest. They both made it. And Trevor Lawrence obviously went first overall, but it's hard when you're not in the same conference, the same division. You don't see each other very often. But we were talking about Justin Fields' competitiveness. Would it be crazy for him to ever look over on like a statue and like, what did Trevor do? This, like, I don't know if he's that kind of guy anyway, but I don't know if it dies, but it's just not as relevant as it once was, I think, just because you're not going to see those. You're not going to have those one-on-one matchups like they've been having since high school. How do you kind of see this question, Mason?
I mean, I think you're right. You do need to have some, you need to see each other enough, right? I mean, you can't do it if you're only seeing each other once every 4 years. It just doesn't work as well. But I think the biggest thing, though, ultimately still has to be relevancy as well. So, for example, why did Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, or you can even throw Philip Rivers in there a little bit when they were in his heyday, why were they rivals? And it was because they were good. Like, at the end of the day, like, their teams were good and they were relevant. So if Justin Fields can't be relevant and help the Bears be relevant, and if Trevor Lawrence can't turn the Jacksonville Jaguars, which are the cesspool of the NFL from a playing standpoint, not from other standpoints that other teams like the Texans and such fall into, you're not, who cares? Like, I don't care how good you are. Who cares? Right. I mean, look at another example would be Matt Stafford. No offense, maybe offense to Don Burr. He just didn't matter that much. He was just always looked at as a guy, good, not great, because Lions never won anything. But when he went to the Rams, now all of a sudden you might start seeing that pop up, him having some actual rivalry with some of the other top quarterback. Now he's in those conversations of being like, is he in the top five of quarterbacks now and all that stuff, because his team wins. So it'll continue if both of the teams cannot suck.
There's the key part, cannot suck. And we'll see which team cannot suck less, more. I don't even know how to answer. But yes, well, yeah, if they're
least
both
sucky,
least sucky, that's how they can become relevant and actually still have that competition. All right, let's go to our next question from @T_Mac_11. And he asked the question, breakout year for Komet? Question with a gif of Cole Komet. Mason, what do you think for good old Cole Komet, the first pick for the Bears in 2019? Is this a breakout year now going into year three?
Similar to like the first question we did here in terms of the Bears being relevant, we have to define breakout, I think, a little bit. But let's play a quick game if we could. So player A, rookie year, 26 catches, 249 yards, 3 touchdowns. Player B, 28 catches, 243 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rookie year. Year two, player A, 53 catches, 493 yards, 9 touchdowns. Year two for player B, 60 catches, 612 yards, 0 touchdowns. So first question is, which one's Cole Komet? Should be easy.
B.
It's B, because of lack of touchdown productivity. Mm-hmm. However, besides that touchdown productivity, were they that different?
Yeah.
Pretty similar, if not actually maybe yards in production, different. Cole Komet was a little better. That was Kyle Rudolph being compared to Cole Komet. Kyle Rudolph was drafted second overall in the second round, 43rd overall. Komet, second round, 43rd overall. The problem with Komet was the expectations, like that he was brought in and all of a sudden he was going to be Travis Kelce. And part of that was the Nagy issue, because he came from Kansas City and it was expected that he was going to be Travis Kelce. He was going to be George Kittle, all these crazy things. It was ridiculous if that was the case. Like, Cole Komet is Cole Komet, and I'm not trying to be a Komet apologist. He needs to be better. One thing that stands out, for example, against the 49ers, Fred Warner was covering him, who is a great linebacker, but he needed to catch that ball. He needs to be better. But when you look at some of the advanced stats, it's actually kind of interesting because he falls right into that average range. Like, target separation, basically how far he is away from the assigned defender, he ranks 14th, right in the middle, right? Not bad. But at the same time, average cushion, he ranked 9th. They were giving him a decent amount of cushion, so you should do that. But at the same time, contested catch percent, he ranked 10th. Not amazing, but a top 10, I'll take that, right? So, and we have to apply the Nagy effect to everybody, like which is, it just didn't work well. If we're saying that for Justin, we're saying it for Mooney, and we're saying it for, you know, he held down Allen Robinson. I mean, that's a whole other conversation because a little bit of Allen Robinson's effort at times. The same has to be said, at least to an extent, for Komet, where the offense was broken. And if the offense as a whole was broken and not a lot of people score touchdowns, why the heck would Cole Kmet all of a sudden be the one scoring touchdowns? It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So if there's going to be a year that he's going to do something, yes, it should be this year. And if he doesn't this year, now we're asking some serious questions.
I like that a lot. And I think I said 2019, 2020 when he got drafted. But Cole Kmet was able to put up those numbers in Nagy's offense that clearly didn't work. And he came into the league with that COVID year, not having the traditional ramp up that you would. So it's always been somewhat of an uphill kind of battle. But yeah, you're not going to hear any complaint from Cole Kmet. Last time we talked to him, he even said, like, playing with three different quarterbacks last year with Justin and Nick and Andy, like, there was almost different offenses too. So put that into the equation as you're trying to game plan, and then see how that impacts all the pass catchers that the Bears had. I think Cole Kmet has the ability to definitely make more plays on the field. He didn't get a lot of those opportunities. Now that Jimmy Graham's gone, I think you see more of those red zone opportunities just subsequently fall to Cole Kmet. Maybe now he gets those jump ball opportunities. You can bring up the play against the San Francisco 49ers. He talked about that play. He said why that didn't work. There was a slight communication error between him and Justin to where that ball needed to be and where he was at. That's another player like Darnell Mooney who's been really working with Justin in the offseason to get that chemistry down off the field, but also on the field. Another play that I want to see him consistently make. You talked about the contested catches. I think the one in Green Bay on the Sunday night game where it's low and he just doesn't come quite, he doesn't come down with the catch. He brings up that play as one like, I need to make that. I think he's capable of doing that. So to answer the question, I think he's capable of it. And I think this offense with Luke Getsy is going to give him more opportunities to show what he's truly capable of and how he can just further build on what he did in year two, but also get that touchdown production, because that's where you'll see that narrative start to change with, I think, Cole Kmet. If he scores 4 to 5 touchdowns and he puts up the numbers that he did last year, I think people would be fine. Honestly, I do. But to answer the question, I think this is a good opportunity for Cole Kmet to have that breakout season. All right. And now we have our last question here. The question is, I'm not 100% convinced of the narrative that Robert Quinn is unhappy and is holding out because he wanted to be traded. I feel like maybe he was injured and didn't want to be in the news. Plus, it was over 100 degrees for 2 out of 3 days of minicamp. Thoughts? And also, welcome back, Mason. I can attest, like, it was over 100 in 2 of those 3 days. It was hot as hell down there at Soldier Field. So I get it if Robert Quinn didn't want to be there. But it also, like, his personality and him wanting to hold, that never matched up when I was kind of thinking, why isn't Robert Quinn here? It's like, oh, he just wants to hold out and wants to get traded. Like, Robert Quinn doesn't seem like that guy. Yes, if you want to go on a more competitive team, I get that. But I think from what he said in his last press conference, like, he did want to be here in Chicago, obviously. Somebody that was really productive last season, but yeah, that would make sense. But honestly, like, if you were to ask me, is Robert Quinn on this team come week one? I still don't know.
That it's a really interesting question, because even before really the offseason programs started, whether it was media, whether it was fans, people were clamoring to trade Robert Quinn. Mm-hmm. And so that narrative was already started. And then he didn't go do the voluntary portions as a veteran who basically just, hey, put your hand in the dirt and go get the quarterback. I mean, it's not like you have to be around to learn anything like that. I think it just fit the narrative. It would fit the narrative that people wanted him traded anyway. Now, and like you said, I don't know that I'd want to be around. I mean, like, how much did he get fined for missing those mandatory days in the 100-degree heat? Like, for him, pennies? Yeah. Whatever. He doesn't really need it. I mean, it does. Eberflus made a very specific point, though, right, that the skips were not okay. Like, he was upset that Robert Quinn wasn't there. Very obvious. But again, at the end of the day, when you're a veteran, as long as he's been a veteran and all that stuff, and it's like, I think he's just like, you know, he's such a chill dude. He's like, all right, that's fine. Take some money. I'll see you at training camp, man. Like, I'm not saying that he's not going to get traded, but I think you can tell that from Eberflus and some of the defensive coaches, they want him there. They want him as a part of this team. That might be maybe where there might be a slight disconnect for all we know between like Flus and between like Poles, because maybe Poles says, hey, I can get us a third, fourth round pick. And Flus is like, no, I need him on the opposite side of my defense, or else what am I doing here? I didn't get the three technique I wanted. At least give me the end I want. So I think we're making a bit too much of it. I mean, yes, if all of a sudden training camp rolls around and he's not there, if he's limping on the sideline, because I do think that whole injury that was an injury, but I think was an injury just from what I saw back, you know, his first year when he wasn't really as productive as we were hoping. That's still always in the back of our, at least my mind, like he does seem to get dinged up every once in a while here and there. So I think we're forcing a narrative to fit what we want, because most people wanted him gone. They wanted him flipped. So let's just slow our roll. We'll see in a couple of weeks. Go from there.
See in a couple of weeks. Yeah. If number 94 is out there, and someone put in here, yeah, we can use Quinn's leadership on a team that's already young. Dominic Robinson would benefit greatly from having Robert Quinn around, transitioning into the defensive end role, and, you know, Travis Gibson going, taking a bigger role this year too. I mean, having Robert Quinn would be, I think it's good for this football team in 2022. I really do. Especially if the most you can get for him hypothetically, like, is a sixth rounder. It's like, I'd rather have Robert Quinn playing and, you know, rushing the quarterback than getting a pick like that. But yeah, everyone, appreciate the questions. We'll definitely have to do this again. And Mason, I really appreciate you coming on here and, you know, talking some Bears football. And like what you said in the beginning of the podcast, it's a down time right now. It's going to be a down time for the next like 3 weeks until training camp starts here. But I really appreciate you hopping on here, Mason.
Yeah, always. It's always fun. It's like I think I've said this before on some of the more recent previous pods. It's good that I don't have to keep berating my patients about Bears news and Bears information. So it's good to be able to talk about it with everyone in the chat and yourself. It's always a good time. I'm happy to hop on whenever I can.
For sure. Well, definitely. Maybe if you get down there to training camp for one of these days, we can do something there as well. And, you know, just recap some more Bears football when things are happening. But that's going to do it for this episode. Make sure to follow us here on CHGO_Bears_sports. Also, you better give Mason a follow. You can find him at @WestSportsPT. If you're watching, it's right there. If you're listening, I just said it. So you better, Mason's, you know, follows better just blow up after this episode. That's what needs to happen. I need to see it. And one last time, everyone, obviously it's 4th of July weekend, and technically it's on Monday. But be safe, everyone. Drink responsibly. And you will hear from us at CHGO Bears on Tuesday. But until then, Bear down, Chicago.